Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
May the force be with you.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Hi, my name is Carmen, and welcome to the fourth episode of Real Talk, where we will be comparing cinema's classic and contemporary films. Today, I have a very special guest with me today, and that is...
I thought you were saying your mom.
My mom,
Sarah Clemente.
Sarah Clemente, great intro. Good job. It's okay. Do you mind, would you introduce yourself to the many, many viewers out there?
Viewers?
Listeners, my bad.
I'm Sarah Clemente, and my husband David and I are missionaries to Taiwan, to Asia, and we have two kids at Morrison Academy. Carmen?
Me.
Is a 12th grader, and Jacob is a 9th grader.
My brother, yes.
Yes. And I love movies, and I love this podcast, so I'm so excited that Carmen invited me to be on it.
Yay! I'm excited that you're here with me today, and I think this will be so much fun. So to start off this episode, I wanted to ask you a question. Since this episode is all about underdog movies, specifically kids being the underdog and we're cheering them on throughout the movie, one of these movies is literally kid becoming a superhero, which is exciting. So I just want to ask you, do you have a favorite underdog movie?
Well, I do. The Karate Kid.
Yay!
Yay!
And that is one of the movies that we are going to be talking about this episode. Did you know that?
Of course. I might have known that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of others. Mm-hmm. Maybe by the end of the podcast, I'll remember
some.
You could
think of one. Yeah. But The Karate Kid is a good answer. Mm. And I really like it too. Mm-hmm. And for me, I would have to say my favorite underdog movie is Eddie the Eagle. You know it, right?
We saw that.
Yeah,
I've seen it once.
Yeah. So I really like Eddie the Eagle. Taron Egerton as Eddie the Eagle. And I just really like the character and the story. It was really funny. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those family movies that is just heartwarming and a good comedy. But still, yeah, very inspiring. And I think that's one thing I love about underdog movies. I don't know about you, but it's very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And kind of like a feel-good movie, you know? There's a lot of sports movies. Like Rudy and...
Hoosiers, I think.
Hoosiers, yeah. Yeah, sports. Like
always sports.
Yeah. I think with underdog... And Rocky. Rocky is a huge classic, that's like... But with underdog movies, it's like sports is a great kind of like element to it, or a theme for underdog.
Well, yeah,
people.
We were always, yeah, so many of us are on the teams and we're the little guys and we're training hard and we dream of being the winner, yeah, coming out on top.
Mm. Yeah, so those are the two, well, not Eddie the Eagle and The Karate Kid, but the two movies that we will be comparing today are The Karate Kid and... Shazam! So Shazam is a contemporary film that we will be comparing to our classic film, The Karate Kid. So like all episodes, each episode is going to contain major spoiler alerts because we want to talk about all the movies as a whole. So we'll be talking about the ending, specific themes, and the character arcs. And so yeah, you have been warned. There are spoiler alerts. All right, so let's jump right into The Karate Kid.
Yay.
Your favorite. Yay. Ralph Macchio.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you like and dislike about this movie? Because like before, when I asked you about you joining my podcast for this episode, you were saying like The Karate Kid is a big movie that you are familiar with and you've loved for so long. So I just wanted to hear about like, yeah, what you liked about it specifically. And
well, I'll tell you, it came out when I was like 12 years old. And so my 12-year-old self would say that I liked Ralph Macchio. That's what I liked about The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But as I go over it, you know, more and really think about it and watch it, what I really liked most about it was the kind of like... having that coach, we're talking about sports movies, and at that time in middle school, you know, we're in volleyball, and we are practicing, and this Mr. Miyagi comes alongside Ralph Macchio, and he is an example of a good coach, a good mentor teaching him life lessons compared to the coach of these boys, these bullies that are antagonizing Daniel. And mm-hmm. so just that whole sequence of learning from Mr. Miyagi, not just about karate, but about life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that. And the story is just, I think, really progresses well. And then one thing I discovered when I watched it for this podcast, right away, I heard the music. And I said, Bill mm-hmm. Conti, like the music is really, really good in this movie. Mm-hmm. And so as you watch the movie, yeah, just kind of listen for how the music plays a part in the movie.
Yeah, I think, yeah, not a lot of people really do appreciate how music, like the soundtrack, can really make like a huge part in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have a really good story and characters, but then the music just does not work.
Yeah, or it's just, yeah.
It's off.
Just, yeah.
It's off-putting. But yeah, I like what you said about the mentor and Mr. Miyagi. And yeah, mm-hmm. that's another thing I liked about The Karate Kid. It starts out as Daniel wanting to learn karate
mm-hmm.
To fight off the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of just turns into Mr. Miyagi, yeah, teaching him life lessons. And that's one thing I really, really liked about it. And another thing I really liked about it was, relating to that, is the character growth of Daniel LaRusso. Because mm-hmm. in the beginning, he was kind of just like trying to pick a fight. Well, he wasn't trying to pick the fight. The bullies were trying to pick the fight. But then he wanted to fight back and really prove to everyone that he can fight.
Mm.
But then in result, he would always get into trouble and would always find himself in situations where, like when he, in the Halloween party, I think it was, yeah, in mm-hmm. the Halloween party where he like sprayed the hose in the guys in the bathroom stall. Yeah. And so he just was finding himself in those situations and just putting himself in trouble.
Yeah.
When he's trying to get revenge. I think that was a big thing.
Right.
Just like revenge and like seeking revenge for those who have wronged him. But then that wasn't what Mr. Miyagi was teaching him with karate. It's not all about seeking revenge. Mm-hmm. It's more about just like defending yourself, but also just like respect and honor.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that for a while, like that Halloween scene, I think, you know, I mentioned, like, why is he going to do that? Now he's asking for it. They haven't really done anything for a while. And just realizing that, you know, there's the bullies, but then Daniel, him and his emotions and his self-control and how trying to figure out how to deal. Even when he, like, after he gets beat up and he sees his mom, when he comes home and he's just kind of just yelling, I want to go home, this place is awful, you know, and then, so when Mr. Miyagi is teaching him about karate, and then teaching him, it's about balance, when he talks about balance, and life is balance, and so it's not just learning the moves so I can fight, but learning self-control, and so over the course of the movie, you learn, or you watch Daniel learn how to control his emotions and deal with his disappointments and the things that happened to him.
Yeah. One quote I liked that Mr. Miyagi said to Daniel was, first learn stand, then learn fly. Nature will rule, Daniel-san, not mine. And so it's just like, I think that was when they were on the boat and he was having Daniel stand on the bow of the boat. Mm-hmm. Learning balance, and Daniel kept asking, when am I going to learn to punch?
Yeah.
And so that just shows, that whole scene kind of shows what we've been talking about perfectly, because it's just like Mr. Miyagi teaching him about balance and like, you know, control and then,
patience,
which Daniel was like struggling with and just like, he's very,
yeah.
All right, cool. Any dislikes for the movie or?
My 12-year-old self would say there is nothing to dislike about this movie. It is a perfect movie. And I would like buy all the magazines, especially Ralph Macchio was perfect. And I would like put posters up on my wall and watch the movie over and over on my VCR.
What's that?
Yeah. And anyway. So now that I watch it, the love story, I mean, it's cute and it's a basis for the story, but I remember, I think some of the scenes are kind of like, it's a little corny.
Yeah. Yeah, that I agree.
But it's cute. I did like Elizabeth Shue, the girl mm-hmm. that played. And then I remember this. It's the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I did not.
You watched it. Maybe you were in middle school. I was like, watch this movie. It's a great movie. And you watched it, and I think you were really into it. And then at the very end, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. And then you were like, that's it? It's over? And so it was so abrupt. And yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of weird. Actually, the movie, or I read that the script went on for a little bit. And if you watch Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 2 starts exactly right after the tournament. So they just put that, what should have, I felt, you know, or you felt, should have happened in Karate Kid 1.
I think
1
what everybody felt.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyway, the ending, I guess.
Yeah. I actually remember, that abrupt ending.
You were so funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah. That's actually, So the director for The Karate Kid was John Avildsen, and he was also the director for the Rocky movies. I'm not sure about the sequels, but definitely Rocky, and I think Rocky 5. But Rocky actually ended a similar way after the fight between Apollo and Rocky. Rocky was, calling for Adrian, and then it kind of just ended there. Reporters were, in his face, and he was yelling, and then Adrian and him hugged or something, and then it ended there.
I see.
So, it must have been a director's choice. Maybe that's just his style, or... Maybe. I don't know. There's not a lot... You know, there's, climax, and then, mm-hmm. like a resolution kind of thing, or, a falling action.
Yeah.
Kind of like a bookend.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't any bookend where how, it was just... Mr. Miyagi's face.
but it did, at the very end, it just happened super fast.
Yes,
because
it did,
the boys were looking at their teacher like, why are you having us? You know, they were having him injure Daniel and all that.
Yeah.
And then when Johnny injured him again, and then he won.
And he did the crane thing?
He did the crane thing, and he won. And then Johnny took the trophy. Johnny presented the trophy to Daniel and said, you're all right, kid, you're all right. So there was resolution there, but it was
so
3 seconds.
Yeah, it was so fast. And I wish they would have... Actually, Jaden Smith's version of The Karate Kid back in 2010, I believe, had a better ending. Because in the end, all the kids, all the students of the bad coach, sensei, went over to Mr. Miyagi or... I think the film had him as Miyagi. I haven't seen it in so long.
I know, I don't know.
But they went over to Mr. Miyagi and all of them bowed to him and showed respect. So I really love that because it's just like the students realizing that their coach is actually really terrible.
Yeah.
And just respecting
the
good
coach,
the proper,
So I wonder if whoever made that movie was like, I don't like the way the original one ended, and so I'm going to do it this way.
Kind of redeeming it a little, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so moving on, one big question that we sometimes ask on this podcast is, when talking about the classic movie, is why is this movie considered a classic? And I feel like we do have to talk about that with The Karate Kid, because... looking back on episode 2, when I was talking to Mr. Griffin about Vertigo, we asked that question, but that's kind of like, it was Vertigo, you know, it made a lot of milestones in filmmaking, and it, overall, it was a very groundbreaking and mind-bending storyline, and just all the techniques that they did, but The Karate Kid, on the outside, it kind of just seems like just another 80s movie. To some people.
Mm-hmm.
And in that year, there were actually quite a few more movies that summer, like the Ghostbusters and Gremlins. So, and it was, I think it was ranked 5 in box office that summer or that year. Yeah, the opening box office. So I think it'd be really, I think it's really interesting to just talk about why people are quoting Miyagi, wax on, wax off. how has The Karate Kid just stood at the test of time? And
that's the first thing that came into my head is
Miyagi
and all of his quotes. I mean, he has quotes like Yoda has quotes, really. And we could, like...
We could talk about Yoda versus Miyagi.
Seriously. All day. It was...
That could be a bonus episode or something.
And not just the script. Like, the script was so good. But then Pat Morita.
Yes.
And how he portrayed Mr. Miyagi. And that whole character. Again, that teaching. Like, yeah, because there... What we said at the beginning, there's a lot of underdog stories and competition stories. But there was something about this storyline and the quotes, what he's learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a good question. I'm sorry. I'm just keep thinking about it. Why would it be considered a classic? Why this one?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I feel like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but looking back on people like Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, I feel like karate must have been, like, a big thing. Or, like, you know, all those fighting styles. Like, I think, yeah, like, it was brought into the Western culture. And people do kind of remember that. Or, like...
Yeah, but actually I also just read something about Chuck Norris. That they...
Rumor has it that he was offered the role
for Miyagi, but then he said they...
Miyagi? Or, like...
The bad guy.
The bad guy,
yeah. Right. And so that made me... remember, yeah, there's like Chuck Norris films and then Bruce Lee. And,
yeah. So I feel like this is more like during the time, but I feel like, yeah, just the excitement surrounding that movie with like just karate.
Right.
I don't know, like as a whole.
And I remember reading too that the screenwriter wrote it, he had read a newspaper article about a kid actually did this. Like a 14-year-old had been bullied, and so he studied a little karate. And not to, like, beat people up in the street, but to, as a way to earn respect and deal with being bullied or what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then it does make me think that, like, that bullying and what Daniel goes through. I mean, a lot of us don't move across the country. I mean, but a lot of young people maybe have been subject to bullying.
Right.
And so this would be something that's attractive to everyone. And again, it's not this kid who all of a sudden becomes strong and beats everybody up. It's finding an adult who has come alongside them and teaching them and growing. It's a story about human connection and then earning respect and whether he wins or not. That's interesting, actually, though, because Miyagi says something that tells Daniel that as you're training and if you do this tournament, you're earning respect. Win or lose, you will earn respect. And they will leave you alone. But of course...
He won.
He won. That would be interesting if he hadn't won. And would he still have earned the respect? But I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that like a timeless theme?
I think so too.
And not only the bullying, but again, even just sports teams in general. Yeah. Like your little underdog from a small town volleyball team, right?
Yeah.
That trains and...
Yeah.
And it's not just about volleyball. It's about... coming together and working together.
I liked Daniel's character. He seems like a kind of off the tracks character. Has that accent. It's Brooklyn?
Was he Jersey?
From? Jersey. Okay. From New Jersey in California.
I thought
that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. And that's kind of like rooting for the underdog kind of thing. I don't know. There's that element to him where you're just like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's scrappy and just like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved what you said about just like timeless elements to a movie is like, yeah, I think that's a really good point. Just like, yeah, overcoming bullying and also just like having that really good just like adult mentor along with Mr. Miyagi. Yeah.
Can I just mention Pat Morita for a minute?
So,
like, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for an Oscar and for a Golden Globe for this. And just talking about who he was at the time, he played Arnold on the TV show Happy Days. And he was just, like, a secondary character on Happy Days, and he's funny, and he's not really, you know, you don't really take him seriously. And then for him to be cast in this role... And he was so good. And he is, there's elements of funny, you know, in the script. But then when he trains and like that one big scene where they pull it all together and he asks Daniel to show him the different moves. And Daniel realizes, oh, I haven't just been your servant all this time. I'm learning something. But he's so serious and then so encouraging. And I don't know. So I think Pat Morita as Miyagi is a real key to this film.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't know that he was on Happy Days. And we actually watched a clip of him as the restaurant owner. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Seeing Mr. Miyagi as like just like this like Chinese yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so a little off topic, but one thing I also loved about The Karate Kid, well, it's not off topic. We're talking about new historicism on this podcast. So really analyzing the movie just as kind of like a historical document and just letting it be kind of like this gateway or window to back then, the society of its time. And one thing I loved about The Karate Kid and like kind of all the 80s movies. I love 80s movies. Like, I love Back to the Future, The Breakfast Club, and The Karate Kid also. Mm-hmm. One trend that was kind of popping up in all the 80s movies at the time was, like, all the protagonists or all the studios, the movie studios, were realizing that their target audience can now be, like, they can target it to kids and, like, families, but specifically, like, like, kids and teenagers. Because back then, like, there were a lot of movies and that, or, like, films were seen as, you know, for adults, and there were a lot of adult protagonists and adult themes of, like, but then I think in the 70s, but especially 80s, like, movie studios there was just this huge, like, surge of movies where the kids are the protagonists and the kids are becoming not smarter, but the adults are becoming the more kind of like clueless characters, but then it's the kids kind of like and that's what I find really interesting about this time period was just and like I don't know if you've seen that when you were just like growing up, just like watching all these movies. Or
I mean, I didn't think about it. It's interesting that you tell me that that was a thing, that the movie studios were kind of making that move towards, like, having the young people be protagonists. Right. So that, we identified with all of these protagonists in the movies. And then we were, that's also the time, it's not just movie theaters, but then the VCR, and then we rent movies and buy movies. See, so it's not like our parents... Because before that, we're not going to go watch movies and pay money every time to go to the theater. Well, maybe they did. I don't know. But, that might not really be true. But I remember having all of these movies. Yeah. But it's very interesting that you say that, because now what that makes me think of is before The Karate Kid was Rocky.
Yeah.
And it's the same director. So now what he's just done is, this is Rocky for...
Kids.
So it makes total sense. That's interesting.
That's true. Yeah.
That's so interesting. And like I said, I've never seen Rocky. I still haven't. I should now that I'm an adult. But when I was younger, I mean, my dad took me to see King Kong, but he didn't have me see Rocky. Oh, wait.
How old were you when you watched King Kong?
I think it was 5 or 6. I don't know why I laugh.
No. What's the scene you remember?
Oh, the only thing I remember, well, besides spilling my popcorn, and my dad did buy me another one. I was so afraid, that he wouldn't. But I remember King Kong taking a snake over his head, and ripping it apart. Sorry. That's totally off topic.
No, I don't know why we're...
Why did we say... Oh, but he did not take me to see Rocky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. So I've never seen... So anyway, but The Karate Kid for kids my age. I could identify with that. Yeah.
And just,
totally makes sense.
Okay, so now we can move on to the second movie of the episode, and that is Shazam.
Shazam!
Shazam! I liked how you said it.
Shazam! I've heard of Shazam before.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
No, you're not really the. Did you read comic books? That was Dad, right?
That was Dad. Dad was. Well, that's, I don't know how I know if. Just shouting Shazam, I knew it. I don't know if there was a cartoon when I was younger. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. But
because I know that. I know Shazam.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Or maybe it's just a saying. Anyways. True. Okay.
We all go around
Shazam. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So this movie follows the character Billy Batson, and he becomes the superhero Shazam, who is played by Zachary Levi, one of my favorite Disney princes. Flynn Rider.
Oh, yeah. From Tangled.
Not Shazam. No.
No.
Yeah, from Tangled. Yes. Yeah. I know him from
there. So funny.
Yeah. So, I just want to ask, like, what you liked, disliked about the movie.
I liked the humor. It was funny. There were funny parts where he gets his superpowers and they do funny stuff. I liked the emphasis on the family, like the different members of their foster family. And my very favorite scene was when they all come together and hold a stick. And he says, say my name. And it's supposed to be Shazam. Say my name. And they say.
Serious moment.
Billy. No. It was the most endearing thing. It was really sweet. So I think the family. Yeah, their little family. Their foster family.
The family dynamic was definitely one of my favorites. Yeah. Just like all these like kind of seemingly like, foster kids, misfits. Just like. Coming together, and they end up as this big superhero family.
True.
And that was really cool. I really like Freddy, too.
I did, too.
I think Freddy was one of my favorites. Yeah. I also loved how Zachary Levi, specifically, because he got most of the screen time, but also the adults, superheroes, acting as kids. Mm. So when Zachary Levi is really, really, like, it... is Billy, literally Billy Batson in an adult body. So they, like, he doesn't lose the childishness or, like, the innocence, you know? Like, lightning with my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like that, how Zachary Levi was just channeling his inner child.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, this is, like, big superhero body. Mm. And just, like, you know? But then he was still, like, this... And it's a child, and it's just,
I thought it was cute when they're in the convenience store, and he's like, give me your best tasting adult beverage, beer. Like, they're gonna buy beer, And then they walk out, and they drink, and they, like, spit it out. Because it tastes terrible. And then you see them coming out. They had gone back in. They come out with all these types of candy.
Yeah.
And I was cute.
I remember. That was so funny.
Being a kid. What did you not like about it, Carmen?
Good question. This was not one of my, it was a good, family movie, and it was, there were some good elements, but this was not one of my favorite, you know, superhero movies. Just because, the CGI was a little, it was okay. I feel like DC movies compared to Marvel movies, this is my own opinion, the CGI and just, like, the, editing, green screen editing and stuff. It's not that good compared to Marvel movies. But I'm not saying Marvel movies are perfect at it either.
Sure.
It's just there was some glaring stuff where it's like when in that whole fight scene at the end, which I will get to later, the villain versus hero thing. But that whole fight scene where I forgot his name, the main villain, the bad guy. He was, they were fighting, and it looked a lot like he was just CGI'd, like, for a lot of it, because he was being thrown around a lot. And so, like, of course, they're probably not going to have Zachary Levi, or even, like, a stunt person, like, do all that stuff. It just looked very, CGI, and just, like, a fake Shazam and bad guy just being thrown all over the place. So, but that's all really, like... I mean, that's just, preference thing, and, like, it's fine, like, you know, but I did think the story as a whole was very messy.
Yeah.
And not very, there wasn't, just not satisfying.
Mm.
And, like, at all, with the whole storyline with Billy and his mom, Mm-hmm. I just did not get. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
It's like, I understood what they were trying to do.
That's the thing.
But it just wasn't a tight script, or it just wasn't flowing. And that I got confused. Kind of, yes. And I would forget. That's why I had to watch it a second time and take notes. Because I didn't get it.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't like about, like, if a movie's bad, it's when the storyline, like, they just miss it. Like, you see it, it could be there, but then it's not, and just is like, ah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's me personally, but yeah.
And another thing, like, I'm sitting here thinking, well, I was really trying to think about it because I was going to do this podcast. So what if I'm just going and I'm just mindless entertainment? Maybe it's funny, or like for little kids. But actually, some of those scenes, those were like, the bad guy goes back to his dad's company in the boardroom and the
that
seven
was
deadly
scary.
It's dark. I kind of didn't watch. Yeah. And
high
so
five.
And so I'm like, really? Is this for kids?
No. I was just like, what?
Come on, people.
And the monsters were like unnecessarily scary. You
yeah.
know? Like, even just, you don't have to be that way.
Yeah. So yeah. So I was, yeah, so that part of me saying, maybe it's just for kids. I'm just like, well.
Well, there's those, you know?
Yeah.
Seven, what was it?
Seven deadly sins. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I did go back over and watched it again to figure out what they had to do with anything. And like the one that was embedded in the bad guy that had to come out at the end. And like if they're out of the bad guy, then the bad guy is vulnerable to the powers, and
yeah,
this is just like complicated, or this story. I'm like,
a little bit. Well, I got it.
So what are you saying? I'm just
nothing. No.
I need something. Sorry, like the Karate Kid, step by step by step. You have to spoon feed me.
Yeah, but yeah, I get and,
or even the family.
Oh yeah, what about
with
the
Thrones.
Family? The Thrones. Oh.
What I did not get that at first.
Did not get that.
At the end, towards the end, like when the kids got their superpowers.
Uh-huh.
Like he thought of that because he remembered the wizard saying that the thrones were empty, our family, you know? And then so, the foster kids can become, it's not just Billy that can be the superhero, it's his brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the wizard and his family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah
I didn't get... I think I was falling asleep towards the end the first time I was watching it.
Well, yeah. I think that was a great scene, or I think that was a great thing, because that kind of shows his character growth.
Yes.
Right? His character arc. Because in the beginning, he was trying to run away from family.
Yes, that's
trying
right.
to find his mom.
Mother.
Yeah. It turns out, like, his mom is not going to be there for him. So,
yeah.
But then he already has this family that... was always that is always going to be there for him.
Yeah.
And that realization with him, like, sharing his power with them and not being selfish and not being like when he was, it was heartbreaking when he was telling Freddy, like, you're just jealous that and instead of Freddy saying like, no, I'm not, he was like, you think? Of course I'm jealous.
Because
he's disabled, you know?
That's
and it's
right.
it's just I did not like Billy at all in that moment where he was but then he grew in character and he learned his lesson and I think then he just became a better brother and just thought about other people more and I think that moment where he shared his power it was good, it was great.
And I think he had to have that scene with his mom. You know, that gave it closure. He understood, now I'm not searching for her anymore.
Yeah.
These are people who love me, and,
I'm going to
stick with it. I'm
going to go
back
to my real family, so he said to her,
yeah.
I was like,
and he'll
boom,
use his
mic
powers.
Drop.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, I liked his relationship with Freddy.
Yeah.
And how Freddy, like, when he's out there doing whatever, like, what is it? With his hands.
Lightning with my hands.
Yeah, and getting money from people and stuff. But Freddie's the one being bullied in this thing. And Freddie needs some help, and he wasn't willing to help him and such. And, just Freddie being disappointed that... it made me... I was trying to compare it to the Karate Kid. Just that he doesn't have a trainer, right? He doesn't have a teacher. He doesn't... And he's not even learning something. He's boom, he's given this all of a sudden the like, body and the powers.
Like how do I deal with it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he hasn't doesn't have what Daniel was just slow
was
growth.
Having.
But, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we can see that difference, kind of just like
Yeah.
Like Billy kind of had to figure it out on his own. Well, he did have Freddy. Like, Freddy knows a lot about superheroes.
He has
a superhero knowledge. Yeah. But that's the only thing I could think of mentor-wise.
Right.
I think the mentor element is really important when, thanks for bringing it up. Because it's like, you can see, like Mr. Miyagi. No, Mr. Miyagi. Like, what if Billy was being mentored by Superman? I don't know. I was just thinking. Yeah. Another thing I did not like. I'm still on the topic. Not like about the movie was just the black and white hero versus villain. Yeah. And I feel like we see that a lot in movies, but there are some superhero movies that try not to do that as much. Cause I'm thinking back with Avengers, like Thanos. I mean, Thanos isn't really black and white. He has his reasons. I'm not saying I sympathize with him or empathize with him, but it's there. Where you were saying you did like the beginning scene of like how the villain guy was.
I was gonna say
the kid.
As a kid, I was totally locked in, and then they did nothing with it. Yeah, they went back and he kills everybody. But I mean, I wanted to spoiler. But I wanted to.
We already said it.
I wanted to see him wrestle or do something.
It was too
black and white. Like
now
you said,
I can kill you now.
Yeah. And he didn't flinch when Billy at the end was trying to talk about family or whatever.
Oh, that's true.
But
he was too. Yeah, black,
we can't. Maybe we're spoiled with Kylo Ren, maybe we're a little, we want more depth than all the other villains.
Yeah. Well, I think that just needs to be there.
Oh.
But I don't know. But maybe they're trying to make a point. I just don't know. Maybe like kids movie, maybe they were thinking, it doesn't matter because I don't know, it'll just go over their heads I don't think so. Like, I think kids are smarter than you think, It's not just like this guy with a bunch of monsters.
Yeah.
There should be a moral struggle even with the villains, not just the heroes.
Right.
I don't know. But then I don't know, maybe it was the director or screenwriter's choice because maybe that's just a little too complicated.
Sure.
So from a filmmaker or screenwriter's perspective, I guess it does make sense. And I just think, superhero versus villain, I'd give it a pass for the whole black and white, fighting. Because, I don't know, superhero movies.
Yeah. But you were saying Avengers. I was even thinking, Loki, is that his name?
Oh, Loki, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? A little bit?
You don't even, you don't consider him a hero or a villain. He's just Loki.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's what I love about him. I love Loki. Oh, goodness, I love... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you're right. It's not always that way in this film. Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be just up for discussion and debate.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah.
Speaking of superhero movies, one thing with new historicism is, even though we're living in, the Shazam movie was released this year, so I guess we can still kind of talk about how it reflects today's society in a way.
Sure.
But I don't know, I think it's really interesting, superhero movies. There have been so many, with Marvel and DC, and that's all I can think of. But there's so many superhero movies, and I think it's just really interesting how many they are, or how popular they are becoming. I just wanted to discuss about that and talk about that. Mm-hmm. Do you remember superhero movies just being all that?
We had there was Superman back then.
Yeah.
Was there Batman? I don't know.
And then now it's just all over the place.
Right.
It's like it's like all that's being shown in movie theaters. It's kind of, well, I don't know. To me, it's kind of sad. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some good superhero movies, but
yeah. And a lot of action. Yeah.
Action movies. That's the thing. Yeah. Like in this day and age, I feel like, well, yeah, I think like, in my opinion, there's a lot of like movies and movie studios are calling for more like action packed movies. Cause yeah, I think, yeah. And with all these like growing technology stuff, mm-hmm. like people are real, like CGI, like we were talking about, but also like just, yeah, editing wise and, mm-hmm. or just like being able to do certain stunts and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like camera movements.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, yeah, people are realizing, that they could be doing so much more and making movies more exciting and thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I'm sitting over here like, oh, there's too many action movies, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it's technology. It's growing. It's mm-hmm. fine. But I do feel like, yeah, it's kind of taking over all the movie theaters. And I'm just like, when is there not going to be, like...
an action. Do you know what comes to my mind as you're talking about that? Is how things have changed over the years as far as marketing is concerned.
Right, yep.
With the internet and with social media and then merchandising. So if you're talking, it's not just about the movie. It's we can get these action figures. We can have, like, cartoon. We can have, you know. And, yeah, because that's what I was thinking, too, about Shazam. Why was this so popular this year?
Well, rated fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got like 90-something percent
and I'm like,
on
why,
IMDb.
Why? And I was wondering how their marketing campaign was or how the social media and how word, you know, you... Those are things we just didn't have in the 80s. They had like... People would go on talk shows maybe or it'd be in a magazine.
Posters and magazines.
Or an article. But then not this... You know, barrage of information leading up to a movie and then interactive.
Like hype.
Yeah, the hype.
Ugh. Yeah, that is a big thing with movies now. It's like, sometimes you just like get too much into the hype. And that's mm-hmm. why I hear some people saying, oh, I'm not even going to watch trailers or I'm not even going to, just to not be in the hype so that when they see the movie for the first time, it clicks and it's just fresh.
And they don't have any preconceived notions.
Expectations and assumptions.
I really respect that.
Yeah. For me, I just, it's impossible.
But yeah, definitely superhero movies with the... We did have pajamas back then, I think. You know, we did have some marketing, or some, like, you have action figures and pajamas, like your Wonder Woman pajamas.
I'm sorry.
I mean superhero pajamas. But so much more now. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, they're out for, I don't know, I'm not in the movie industry, but I think part of it is, there's movie for the sake of movie, but then sometimes there's movie for the sake of we're making money.
Yeah,
you
know?
And so it's nice when you make money, they make money and they're good movies.
And adding on to that, it's like with superhero movies, there's the comic book era back then. And then kids now, and then those people that lived in the comic book era are older now.
Yes.
But then there's also the kids who like the term superhero has been around for generations and just like for a long time. And kids now are into superheroes and stuff. And then so when a superhero movie comes out, like Shazam, it's like the people who read the comic books growing up go watch it. And then the kids watch it.
True.
And so it's
sometimes
like,
sometimes they watch it together. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, that's
family
true.
Movie. Yeah.
That's neat. That's neat. I'm really not into superhero movies. But... I do like, let's say, your dad read the comic books when he was young. What was it? Marvel. And to see you be interested together. And that's really sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And now, like, going back to the superhero genre as a whole, I found that the director of Shazam, David Sandberg, and the producer, Peter Safran, they were talking about this. They said they were talking in an interview, like, about... Someone asked them, like, why do you think superhero movies are so popular right now? And they kind of had two different things. And we kind of did talk about this.
Mm.
Sandberg was saying, the director was saying that it's kind of like this kind of wish fulfillment thing for every kid, for every person, really. Some people don't mind, but every kid wanted to be a superhero, right? Like, it's like, and the classic question, which would you rather have, flight or invisibility?
Right.
And even had it in the movie in Shazam. Yeah. Like, it's just superhero and like having that power and just like, it's just throughout generations, that's just been this like, this wish. And it's, and to see it, especially with Shazam, but literally, I can't think of any other movie that has a literal kid as a superhero.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. That's
besides
true.
Spider-Man. But Spider-Man is still kind of like a teen, like older
he
teen.
He seems a little older, yeah.
A 22-year-old playing a 15-year-old.
All right. Well,
well, well 70. Or,
that yeah. You just, that's the Karate Kid. That's Daniel, too. While we're at it.
He looks 12.
Yeah, Ralph Francio.
I looked up his age. I know. And I was like, what? I thought he was like, yeah, I don't know.
I know.
Way young.
I don't know that's if so I knew funny. That when I was 12 with his poster on my wall. I didn't, like, here I am idolizing a 22-year-old guy.
That's okay. That's me with One Direction. It's fine.
Oh, true that. Okay.
Okay. Anyways, and then the producer, on the other hand, was saying how it's, like, yeah, more technology because of, yeah, this technological age where it's, like, there's more CGI opportunities or, like, different, yeah, tech stuff. like movie makers are able to, like, actually perform the art of superhero movie making like well, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
no, it does.
Like, not like, no disrespect to the old superhero movies.
Superman, like, they probably had a fan that was blowing his cape, you know.
Yeah,
was he's like out like that.
Yeah,
yeah, you could do that, like compare an old superhero movie to a new one.
Yeah, Superman and Man of Steel.
Ooh,
yeah. I actually I haven't watched any of the old Superman movies. It's all been, what's his name? Henry Gold? No. No, right.
Mm-mm. Okay. Cavill? Or...
Oh, yeah. I was about to say Henry Golding. Was that the guy from Crazy Rich Asians?
Yeah.
Whoops. Okay. So, yeah, I found that really, really interesting how both the director and producer of Shazam were, like, talking about, yeah, why superhero movies have been so popular. And, yeah, I agree with them. Like, both, like, I agree. Like, and one thing that is so interesting about the superhero genre as a whole is, like, it's a genre. Like, it's not even just, like, a superhero movie. Like, there's not one way to do a superhero movie. Mm. Like, what you said, like, you like the humor in the superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really say that about, what's a, like, I don't know, X-Men. I haven't watched X-Men.
It's yeah,
like, or
yeah.
Logan. Like, there's some here, but it's pretty, like, gritty and,
yeah,
like, you know.
Right.
And R-rated. And, yeah.
Right, right.
So, but then, Shazam, PG-rated, right? PG-13? I think PG. I'm not sure. But,
PG-13, there were those scary scenes.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they weren't scary for kids. I don't know.
Scary for you.
Yeah, and you. And, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, anyways, and then with superhero movies, just, like, you have, like a comedy, like, Shazam, but then there's also Deadpool that's also a comedy, but it's, like, different. So it's just...
I haven't seen Deadpool.
Okay, don't see it. I haven't either.
That's not... Yeah, anyway. Not what I heard...
Okay, anyways. Okay, moving on. So, I just thought that was really interesting how you can really, like, it's very broad genre now.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, I don't know, as you're talking about superhero movies like that, it just makes me think about Karate Kid again.
Yeah.
It's like...
We can, like, now
not
kinda...
an anti-superhero movie, but he's not a superhero, clearly.
Yeah.
And there's something just really sweet about that. Again, like, we aren't going to be superheroes. There's no magic. Like, this is a fantasy movie, the Shazam, right? But then...
The Karate Kid
It's, like, real life, and that is just a little more relatable, maybe. And I don't know, just really... sweet and Again, Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
It's like we all need a Mr. Miyagi, you know, that... Yeah, that good teacher. Do you have a Mr. Miyagi?
You.
Aw. Oh, with my
really, your mini lectures.
Mini lectures, that's true.
Just like out of the blue, I'm just minding my own business.
And I decide to give you a word of wisdom.
It lasts like half an hour.
Hey, that's...
I'm just kidding, I'm kidding. No, I love it.
No, you're not kidding. I mean, I'm just sitting here, man, I should like be more concise, like Mr. Miyagi and Yoda. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do or do not. There is no try.
Right. Yoda, and Miyagi has the road. You either walk on the left or walk on the right, because if you're in the middle.
Yeah.
So either you do karate, yes, or do karate, no. Do karate, guess so. Squish. Just like great.
Oh, I Same love thing. That. It was so good. Yeah.
Yes. Because Daniel was like, he's like, are you ready to learn karate, Daniel?
Guess so.
Do or do not.
There is no try.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of...
Well, we can like we were talking about that difference between Shazam and the Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shazam being kind of this, like, fantasy, like, you know, being a superhero.
Yes.
Whereas the Karate Kid seems just, it's more realistic, and it's not really, like, having, like, superhero magical powers, but just, like, finding the balance and strength within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, yeah, and I just... Yeah, we can jump right into comparing just both movies.
Okay.
Yeah, just both movies, similarities, differences. One thing that we were talking about when we were talking about these two movies was the human connection element with Daniel and Mr. Miyagi, and then Billy's foster family. Mm-hmm. I think those were really good elements. And with comparing these two movies, one being a classic, one being like this really contemporary, like, superhero movie, but both kind of have that really, I like what you said, the everlasting element, or just like a timeless element of humans, like, connecting with each other, and just like, I thought those two movies kind of really, like, did it, like, well. I think.
And I remember us talking about, again, like Mr. Miyagi, and he shares about his life. It's not just karate. He shares about where he's from. We learned a lot about him and his dad, what he taught him. And then there's the scene where he had been drinking, and it's because it was this remembering his wife and child who had died, and sharing that story with Daniel, and Daniel finds out he's a World War II veteran and that, and just, we got to know him a lot. Again, it wasn't just about the karate and that he's this janitor who knows karate. It's like, we got to get to know him just like Daniel did. Yeah. And that he had gone through a lot. He had a lot of hardship. And then for him to kind of be where he is and earn the respect that he did. And then Daniel looks up to him. And so then, Shazam, it's different. He looks at this foster home with these different foster kids, but then, like, he sees they're happy, and they have these parents, and these kids are here, and they are together, and, you know, at first, Billy doesn't feel like he belongs, or does he really want to belong? He has a mom he's out looking for, you know?
Yeah.
But then, little by little, getting to know them, especially Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love Freddy.
I know. And in the end, favorite. He chooses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then those kids adore Billy, like, from the beginning.
I love the little girl.
The little girl.
Too. Aww.
She's
so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about the underdog element for both. Mm-hmm. Kind of, well, like, kind of throughout the. Yeah. And. Yeah. I think with. Well, we didn't really talk about it with Billy, but. I see Billy as an underdog, right? Yeah, it's just like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, coming from that background, even. Yeah. It's just, foster family and, like, single. His mom leaving him. I forgot what happened to the dad. Prison? No.
No, I don't think she ever...
Mentioned.
I forget. Did they mention?
The dad just didn't want... I remember
Wasn't in the picture or something, did she say?
He left. I don't know.
She said he wasn't in the picture,
I think just, like, with this whole... With the whole element of like empathy, like the viewers or the audience watching a movie, mm-hmm. like especially with an underdog kind of movie storyline, there's got to be that element of empathy. Because if you right. don't empathize with the character right from the start, mm-hmm. then it's just like, yeah. oh, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think both movies, The Karate Kid and Shazam, really, like,
had us Shazam,
be cheering for
him. Like, because the scene where, near the beginning of the movie, where he's with the social worker, and we learn that he has run from many homes, and she even says it's homes, good homes, that they really did love him and wanted him to stay, but he's still running, trying to find, she said, you know, a mother who clearly isn't looking for you, or doesn't, she was kind of being straight up with them, like, so we kind of right away have empathy for him, you know, he's looking for a place to belong. And so then when we see him meet this family, you know, and they seem cool. The parents have been foster kids before and have that experience. So they're empathizing with them, and the kids mm-hmm. are cute.
Yeah. And I think and I think theme-wise, besides human connection, there's also just like that struggle with when life just kind of treats you as like a punching bag. I feel like that you can see that with Daniel in mm-hmm. The Karate Kid. And also Shazam, like with Billy, mm-hmm. it's like life will always present you with these challenges, with these life blocks, and you can either accept defeat, like just not try, or you can try, and you'll fail, but overall, it's like these uncomfortable situations or places and these life blocks are very, very important in your growth, in your character growth. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't see it as like, one way, like, of either be defeated, like with the Karate Kid, Daniel, like, I'll either win or lose this tournament. It's like mm-hmm. yeah, what you said with Mr. Miyagi mm-hmm. saying that win or lose, you'll have honor, you'll mm-hmm. you know,
respect,
and he would I feel like even if he lost, he would have changed as a person. Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and then with Billy, it's like, well, that kind of fight would have been different, because if he lost, he would have been dead. But, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you could see, like, these life blocks as a part of your character growth. And I think that's one major theme throughout both movies. Just, mm-hmm. like, Billy never giving up on trying to find his mom, and his mom turns out not being the person he thought she was going to be. Mm-hmm. But instead of just, like, that was his whole motivation, you know, like, just, yeah. like, and then for that disappointment, I just felt so bad, like, but he found a real family in the, I don't know their names, but the foster family.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, that, and I think, like, that we can really see, the audience can really see that when they're watching this kind of underdog movie, you know, the underdog coming from this rough background, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, they stand no chance, but then they overcome and they win, and it's just like, and then you kind of come out of the movie theater or take out the VCR tape.
Right.
And then you can be like, I can do anything. Well, maybe, but it's just like that theme was really cool, I think.
Yeah. It's true.
Do you have any last statements about these two movies?
I enjoyed watching The Karate Kid again. And I just encourage everyone to watch it. It's such a good movie.
Go watch The Karate Kid.
And just, I want to watch it again with all those words of wisdom from Mr. Miyagi. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can also watch Shazam.
Yep, you can.
You can.
And you'll just laugh.
It is really good. We're not saying it is good, really. And
do you think, now you talk sometimes about classics, like, do you think The Karate Kid is considered a classic?
Yes.
Do you think Shazam has a chance of becoming a classic?
No. No, I don't think so, because I don't know. There's just so many superhero movies.
Oh, that's true.
I just think Avengers Endgame just will always, I don't know if there will be a there might be in the future. I don't know if there might be a superhero movie that will reign up top like that, like Avengers Endgame and like Infinity War. Like Shazam will not beat that, you know?
That's true. I never thought about how much competition it has.
That's the thing. There's so much competition in superhero movies. Well, it's because like Marvel and DC are like taking up. That's kind of the majority of all the superhero movies being put out. But even with those two comic movie studios, it's still like, there won't be. I feel like Wonder Woman, because it was like a female superhero lead movie. I don't know if it was the first, but I'm not sure. But I feel like that might be a good movie that people can look back on. I don't know. That's my opinion. That's like a DC movie.
Yeah, there's that.
Loved it so much.
Aww.
But yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Shazam. As much as it is a good movie, I don't think it will reign as a classic as much, but that's okay.
Yeah.
People can still enjoy it and watch it with their family.
They can.
Yeah. So, well, that does it for the fourth episode of Real Talk. Thank you, Mom, for coming on the episode.
I survived.
You survived. Yay. This was so much fun.
This was great.
Awesome.
I just want to encourage anybody, if Carmen asks you to be on her podcast, it's not scary. It's awesome.
Yeah, we have so much fun on this podcast. So that does it for this episode. Like my mom said, if you want to be a guest or if you have any movies that you would like to see be talked about on this episode, or not episode, this podcast, please contact me. And that does it for this episode. And thank you so much for listening, and have a nice day, and remember to
keep it real.
Yay!